Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. Let's start another design studio conversation about presentation design and the business of presentation. Here are the show hosts, Troy Caller, Nolan Hams, and Sandra Johnson. Season 6, episode 115.
Troy Caller from TLC Creative Services, Inc., based in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Montclair, New Jersey.
And here we are, the three of us. We really haven't been doing this a whole lot, just the three of us conversing and talking. And we got a great topic today.
We've had company.
Yes. Hey, Nolan asked, hey, how about this topic? And here's somebody I'd like to invite. Where are we at? I was like, Nolan, we could do that. But what I have to say, we're like out to May. Yeah. We're out there a ways.
Yeah, this is good. We've got a lot lined up for 2021. So,
and lots of them are guests, you know, extra people. So anyways, it's the three of us today. It's very cool. So while it's the three of us, what's happening around your offices? What's happening in the studios and projects?
Well, last week I was an attendee at a virtual conference on InDesign and PDF accessibility for Creative Pro. I know that sounds very niche and very nerdy, and it was, but it was great. I learned so much because I'm in the midst of this annual or couple annual projects for this client of these massive 508 compliant InDesign documents. Mm-hmm. So I'm constantly learning. The whole conference was basically just telling me all the things that I don't know. You know, as much as you know, you always keep learning more. There's always something around the corner to do. That's or watch great. Out for.
No, yeah. I love it, learning what you don't know, because then you know you're learning.
It is good. It's also frustrating to know that you've been, you know, sending out work with, oh, I missed that. Oh, I should have done that. Yeah. But, you know, as we always say, or as I always say with accessibility, it is a best faith effort. At least that's what I'm going with. That's what I keep telling myself.
I think that's a great answer.
I think that's a great statement. Yeah.
That's a good definition for life too, I think. Mm-hmm. So since March, I've been doing a bunch of webinars, but just in the last month or so, I've been able to move a lot of my official training programs with clients that had been suspended, the in-person ones. We've sort of officially moved them into an online realm. So we're now starting to go beyond just those 1 hour webinars. And yeah, I think clients are realizing, like, all right, we put off training. We, you know, the official program for too long now, we really gotta get back to it at this point.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So doing a lot more online training, which I always said I hated doing, but now you got no choice. Troy, what about you?
I had to stop and think about this. I mean, what have I been doing? And it dawned on me that PowerPoint has not been the top activity for the past few weeks since we last talked. And that's like the first time I think I could say that in years. Mm. Lori and the design team have really focused on the many presentation projects to give me some time to focus more on the virtual platform and its development and running events there. And I mean, so I'm doing a lot of work and a lot of it's visual presentation, but it's not specifically in PowerPoint. But I do have a quick announcement though. I guess this is kind of the PowerPoint blog is back. Well, sort of. Okay. Another WordPress update literally moved our theme from functional to completely broken. It was like, okay, wait, now the navigation doesn't work. So we've basically reverted to the standard WordPress theme, or I should say a very standard one. It's very bland. It's very much not what we want, but all the content is accessible again. And the only blog post I've added is a note that due to technical issues, you haven't been seeing a whole lot here. And hold on, because January 1st, we will have the new theme rolled out and the backlog of blog post topics will start flooding in for the first of the year. So I guess it's almost newsworthy-ish, but it's personal. It's what's happening because, things just break after a while.
The PowerPoint blog, your blog, is the only one that was not forced to remove the name PowerPoint from it.
Shh, secret conversation. Don't mention it out loud. We don't know why, and I'm good with it.
I think because it's completely knowledge-based. I really do. You're not selling anything. You know,
yeah, there's nothing there for marketing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What's happening with you, Sandy?
Well, let's see. Let me start with listener mail, kind of listener mail. You might recall that a couple of weeks ago, I presented at the TechValley.net user group. And one of the reviews that came in, I just had it, it brought up the podcast and I just thought it was kind of cool. It's from, the gentleman's name is John Balica. And he says, I highly recommend the presentation podcast. I did not realize this is the same Sandy on the podcast.
Oh, that's so funny. That's great. That funny?
Yeah, I thought that was great. Cool. So thought I'd let you guys know about that. I'm busy with year-end projects, a lot of templates, a lot of sales presentations, training. What more can I say? Well, I'm working on a January sales conference, actually. It's the one that I've kept for the last 3 or 4 years, and they're still going through with it. Of course, it's all virtual and everything.
Okay.
And I may need to talk to you, Troy, just because I'm not familiar with Teams Live.
Oh, okay. That's a great platform that not a lot of people leverage
they're
yet.
They're using it. They're going with it. So
for anybody listening, I think I can just say Teams Live is like Zoom webinar. You know, everybody knows Zoom meetings. They have a second tier called webinars. Mm-hmm. Microsoft Teams has meetings. They have Teams Live, which is basically more control for a producer and production. It's very nice.
Okay. Well, I was just curious about it. I truly hadn't heard of it. And well, speaking of today's subject, never-ending projects, last year's year-long, I was working on a PowerPoint add-in with John Wilson, and that came back as a Word add-in. They liked it so much, so it's a little bit different. Okay. It just meant more work. The Presentation Guild just held its annual meeting and introduced its new directors that have been elected by the membership. There's Chantal. It's quite the international group, by the way. Chantal Bossy is from Canada. Sheila Robinson from New York. Christops Pettersons from Latvia. Oh, and yay. Richard Mullahan from South Africa. I think that is just an awesome new group. Then from there, elected to the executive committee, Bethany Ock was elected as president. Steffi Hogan is now vice president. Steve Rinsberg remains treasurer, and John Romolo has come on as secretary. Oh, and Rick Bretschneider, parliamentarian.
I just love that title. He went for it just for the title. We're just saying it, Rick.
It's awesome.
The online meeting format was really nice. I mean, it was really, really conversational, really informative, and I think it flowed really well. Kudos to everybody that put it on.
Yeah, and because we usually have that at the presentation summit each year, and that is not in person, so I think we pushed it off a bit.
I thought it went really well. I liked seeing all of the directors present rather than, you know, being just the president. I just think, you know, it's run by a group of volunteers and they each had goals and objectives, and I loved having them speak. Oh, let's see what else. More guild stuff finally, and then I'll be done. But the guild survey, you still have a chance to win a free membership at the Presentation Guild and get the report for free for contributing to the survey. We'll put the link to the somewhat annual state of the presentation industry and salary survey. We'll put that
in the notes. Link also, if somebody goes to presentationguild.org, did I get that right? Is it right there on the homepage as well?
It's not the same link. This is a link that says you followed the link from the presentation podcast.
Oh, okay. Very good. Mm-hmm. We have our own custom link. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's good or bad. Okay. Moving on. Well, in the world of presentation news, I thought we were going to skip it because it was the three of us, but we've added a bunch of notes. So who's up first?
There's something going on.
There he is.
Sandy, you dive in. What do you have?
Sure. Well, and I've heard about this, but I haven't tested it. Have you done the copy SVG from PowerPoint to other apps as an SVG? No,
I'm usually on my Mac. Go on.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm not certain. Troy, maybe you can tell us. Is this a window paste
currently board Windows improvement only.
Or? What is it?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know if it's Windows-based that did the improvement or if it's Office-based that would make it happen on the Mac, as example, Nolan. Mm-hmm. So right now you can right-click and copy your SVG. And if you, say, as example, moved it into Illustrator, mm-hmm. PowerPoint into Illustrator, PowerPoint into Photoshop, you would just get a ping image and it wouldn't hold the transparent background. It would make it a solid color. Right. So now I don't know what level it is. I'm pretty sure it's only the fast insider slash beta slash whatever we're calling it right now version, but it does let you copy across out of PowerPoint into another application without doing the save as step. It's a great improvement. But I am curious now that we've said it out loud, if that is the Windows pasteboard that's making that work, or if it's actually Office. So I will have to check it on.
I'll check it out too. I just didn't get a chance to play with it.
Well, hey, I got one. I'm pretty excited. I want to call out, and I'm hopefully going to get the name right. I want to call out Cindy Coleman, who has a really nice LinkedIn article, an example of creating a pre-event rotating slideshow. And Nolan, I think you mentioned on the last one, you'd done a Creative Pro video about this. So I'm curious if they align. But,
go on.
So Cindy used a technique that was one of the techniques I talked about at this year's presentation summit. I did a talk seven presentation design hacks. And a lot of it was, how do you mix and match things? Like, how do you use an add-in with some native PowerPoint features to create a new thing? So it's a really beautiful idea visually of using like kind of a traditional film strip to create a little rotating. And it's, you know, I think the files are available. I looked through it. Anyways, I will add a link to Cindy's LinkedIn article in the show notes. It's very cool. And it was also nice to be called out, but it's like, hey, I did do a talk and somebody made notes and made use of it. And there's a couple other thank yous in there for some other things. So there, that's a news one. Thank you, Cindy.
That is a very good technique. That was a little different than one I did, which had to do with an animated GIF, but lots of ways to do it. Speaking of animated GIFs, PowerPoint now exports an animated GIF with transparent backgrounds. That's been there. That's been there for maybe a month or so, I think.
Well, hey, the news thing for me on this, people, is I'm pretty up to date. I like to know what's happening in the world of PowerPoint. I'm doing this. I actually learned about this from a question Nolan posed to the Microsoft team. I was like, wait, that's not even an option. So Nolan, thank you. You actually informed me of something I obviously overlooked. And it's pretty cool. I mean, it's a big improvement.
It's only PC right now. You know, we assume it'll come to the Mac eventually.
Well, my assumption is they'll lead that same idea into animated or transparent alpha channel videos. So I'm more excited about the future. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, I got a question. Do you both use Outlook for your email?
Sure do.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Have you noticed the new predictive grammar text? I actually don't know what the official name of this, but you know, it's where Outlook suggests your next word or phrases as you type.
Yes.
What do you guys think of it?
Well, first I was a little irritated by it because I had to stop and tab, right?
Uh-huh.
But I'm getting used to it. And especially when it started recognizing one of the phrase I use a lot, I often sign up with, how else can I help? How else may I help? With a question mark.
Oh, interesting.
And now I start typing how else and it finishes may I help for me. There's some AI going on in there. I love it.
Personalized AI. Nolan, have you noticed it?
I have not really noticed it so far. I haven't been paying too close attention maybe, but now I will.
Well, because even among our staff, I'm on email continuously. Of course, we use Teams and we still use Skype for business. You know, there's so many communication channels, but it seems like I'm typing more and more and more. I am somewhere between feeling it is annoying and feeling it is very helpful. So I fluctuate kind of like you were saying, Sandy. What I almost comically am waiting to see is if this feature gets added to PowerPoint. See, segue, PowerPoint presentation, conversation. But because PowerPoint is not really a long form composing tool. I mean, we're not very verbose. We are continuously breaking grammar rules to make concise statements. And I was actually composing, the reason I bring this up is I was composing some emails yesterday, one of which was a bulleted list. It was kind of, you know, like, here's the action items. And I want to make it very concise, just like we would in a presentation. And I was really frustrated by just how verbose the suggestions from Outlook was offering. And I thought, this may not be good for PowerPoint content. So anyways, I'm just throwing it out there. Like, there's this cool new feature. It does some pretty cool stuff. But it may not be the best platform for it in PowerPoint if we're using it for, you know, short, concise, soundbite type of information. It'll be interesting to see the results. That's all I'm saying. Not news, just observations.
Nice. Stock videos have popped up and appeared in PowerPoint.
Ooh.
And so just like we've had access now for a while to stock imagery, and a lot of that's pulled from iStock and Getty under the hood, And so, yeah, I'm not exactly sure where the videos are coming right now, but I would assume they're iStock and Getty. But you can now, it's not under the insert images tab.
It's
under
insert video.
Insert video, yeah. So, it's a little hidden. You might not go there. But if you go to insert video, one of the options now is stock video, and they're high quality, high res, you know, real stock. So there's just, again, Microsoft 365 only, currently PC only. But again, I just keep giving you more and more stuff.
That's really cool.
First of all, this is awesome. I didn't know where to look for it. But second of all, hold on. Let's just do this right now. So if I go insert stock images, and I'm going to make a comment about this in just a moment here. But mm-hmm. you know, along the top, I have images, icons, cut out people, stickers, and illustrations. And then if I go over to this insert video, which I never use because I just drag and drop a video in. But then I go to stock videos. It's the exact same thing. Images, icons, cut out people, stickers, illustrations. Oh. But videos is added there.
Okay, I didn't know.
It's like literally the same interface, but they give a little extra because I was wondering where this was. This is a pretty nice. Okay, so here's my observation. I have not seen the stock videos until right now. This is very exciting, but it is a little confusing how the interface is the same, but not the same in two places.
Right.
Yeah. I will say, what do you guys think about this? I say the search and the overall layout and organization of that insert window is really nice. I mean, the team in charge of this at Microsoft, I think they're making this a world-class experience. It's on par with the major stock imagery interfaces. It's really, really improved. So,
well, I think they're being very thoughtful.
Well, but apparently adding videos but under one area but not the other may be a little thoughtless or oversight.
Exactly. Let's, bring that up.
Yeah, if you were to compare this to like 2 years ago, there's no comparison. And even as it, anyways, thanks, Nolan. I didn't know I had to go look in another place for that.
You got to go look. There's always something popping up all over the place.
We are in the final month of 2020, and I believe 2020 may be the first time I have ever been excited to say this year is finally done. Just thank so God. Looking forward to 2021. Okay, but going with that idea, finished, complete, no more, we are having a conversation about design projects and what we do with those projects that are kind of left suspended between done and on hold. This is obviously a designer topic, so it's not limited to just the presentation designers. So bring your designer friends in. This is going to be a good one. And as we look into 2021, it's kind of a good time to review the project list and ask, this project is done, right? Okay, I'm going to kick off this because I want to kind of set the tone here to make sure we're diving into more of the business side and the client, you know, communication side. At the outset, we always have a contract or an agreement or a handshake. No handshakes right now. Do you have any contract stipulations or part of your project onboarding that details when a project is complete?
Yeah, but only when I'm working with a contract, which I don't always do for regular clients and projects, but with contract jobs such as templates, there's a clause for finalizing the work, which is usually 60 or 90 days following the signing of the contract, depending on like what exactly we're doing and what our timeline is, because that often includes like a 4-week testing period of the template. So that's included. But I do have the option at that point to close it out at 60 or 90 days and bill for the work done. And yeah, that's, you know, had to do that occasionally. How about you, Sandy?
I need to start doing that. The only expiration I have is the expiration of the proposal from 30 days from the date of submission. If the project hasn't commenced and it's been adjusted based on actual start time, like we would revise the timeline if they waited too long, that's the only thing I have is can I start over?
Yes, do it over.
No, the only thing I have, I don't include anything about the end of the contract other than the proposal will expire 30 days from submission. So if I put together a timeline and an estimate and I haven't heard from somebody after 30 days, then we start all over. I have to resubmit the contract, adjust the timeline, that sort of thing.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my timelines are generally not fixed to exact calendar dates, but I have that 30 day, you know, it expires, mm-hmm. but then they finally, you know, it's like 2 months later, they're like, okay, we want to go with a contract. And I guess if my prices had gone up in, you know, 2 months, I could change it. But usually I just whatever.
Pick it up and run.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just, you know, mm-hmm. change the sign date and pick it up. Troy, you're a little more buttoned down with your timing.
Well, some things maybe. I don't have a proposal expires clause. And I'm trying to think why that would be super evident. I mean, I know it's obviously advantageous to encourage things to move along, but it's not like our rates are going to change, but it could impact the timeline. Yeah. The timeline would be. Yeah. So, you know what? I always put time, you know what? So maybe we do cover it. Sorry, this is a diversion from where I thought I was going to talk. We do cover that by saying proposed timeline based on when project is approved. So I guess mm-hmm. I'm putting that clause in there to say, hey, here's what we'd like to do. But if you don't get back to us for 45 days, obviously all the timeline's gone, but we may be impacted or that design team that we had assigned to it may not be available. But the one I do have is we have a statement that it's basically if we go 15 days with no response, we close and submit an invoice. So in other words, if this project just sits idle, we have we're approved to say, here's the invoice for the work completed to date. There are no final deliverables and the project will be reopened upon request. What about something like that? That's where I was kind of thinking actually, because we're trying to avoid the stuck in limbo for months on months and months
what
project.
I'm trying to avoid by what I put in there is say, giving somebody a milestone timeline in the proposal based on my availability during that time period mm-hmm. or a team's availability, yeah. like you said, Troy. And so if they're not getting back to us, we may not be available. If all of a sudden, okay, let's go. I may have to get more subcontractors or, you know, jump through some more hoops. That's why I do that.
It's just a way to encourage.
How do you get a project to start? We'll move that one. Yeah, that one was a whole other discussion. Nolan, do you have anything that kind of says? Yeah.
I don't currently have a no response clause, but I do need to start putting it in. So I have an occasional client who paid me upfront last December for some template updates that were supposed to take place in January because they wanted to get it on the books for the year before. Fine. So we started the work in January and then they went silent. You know, we did a little bit here and there, but it definitely wasn't the full project. They came back to me last week and said, oh, I noticed, you know, we've paid for this and, you know, want to finish this up. And it wasn't that much work, but it was more work because I had to go back through all the emails and find the last file we worked on and what were the asks. And I just had to get back up to speed on what this project even is. Like when you first said, I want to finish it up, I had no idea. Was this going to be a couple hours, a couple days? Because mm-hmm. I just totally forgot it. So it was more work to sort of get it working again. And so I gently told him that in the future, you know, next year we'll have a 30-day non-communication clause for their work.
There you go.
I'll talk more about it a little bit later, but I think it's probably one of the more important clauses we have because we leverage it in, you know, again, it's always friendly. We don't want to be, you know, adversarial to our clients. But on the other hand, we got to let them know we can't just sit idle. Let's move on past this one and move to the next topic. Give me a topic. Let's talk.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask then, do you have clients that just stop communicating, leaving a project basically on hold, never to return?
Okay, I'm going to purposely answer this one last or reply to this last.
Okay.
So yeah, it happens. And it happens at all stages. I mean, sometimes my favorite is when you ask them if they have edits on the last version and they say, oh yeah, we presented last week. It's like, all right. Thanks. So I guess you're just waiting for me to chase you down. But that's usually the thing. I mean, and yeah, I rarely get, you know, complete ghosting. But they're just, you know, they just take a long time and you got to push them. And what about you, Sandy?
Usually, no. Usually, I don't have that problem at all. Maybe it feels that way because Chloe, my project manager, is so good at keeping things moving along or at least keeping in touch with them. So I always feel like no matter what, I'm like they're here, that I haven't been ghosted. really, except for.
Ooh, except.
Yes, exactly. And Troy, when you said, let's talk about this, I'm going, really? This just happened to me. I started a project last February and we worked on it over the months, on and off, but, you know, like a week at a time, several different projects. But about a month ago, they changed their mind. They canceled the branding and they wanted to start over. So at least I was reassured it had nothing to do with me. You know, it wasn't like, okay, Sandy, we're not going to work with you anymore. It was, we're going to start over. And I created a first draft of creative based on their start over, and I haven't heard from them since. It's the weirdest thing.
I assume you're building off like a corporate template and things that need to align to wherever the branding lands.
Well, so I built their template based on the branding that was developed.
And then they're changing the branding. So now you're back in, but you don't have anything finalized from them. Oh, yeah,
I tend to take things personally.
I don't think it's you. I think we've experienced that.
Yeah.
Okay. So
weird.
Going with I feel this happens a lot. Communicate, you know, clients just stop communicating and it happens a lot more than I would like it to. Then to put a little blame on us, because there are so many projects in process at the same time here, I think we make the issue worse by not always being the assertive side and reaching out to the client with, hey, where is this project? Or, hey, we haven't heard from you. Or, hey, want to make sure you did get, you know, we don't have that communication cycle always. Now we should, it's a best practice and it's a process here. Mm-hmm. So I think we kind of exasperated. And well, this is kind of a follow-up question is when you do finally get to that client, do you often get the, oh, it's all great. Yeah. The presentation was super. And you're like, oh, I didn't even know that thing was done.
Like Nolan just said, yeah.
But I mean, is that like a common thing? I actually think that's pretty common where people, they think it's done and they're just waiting for the invoice and they're just happy it hasn't shown up yet.
Well, I don't know if they're just waiting for the invoice or if they're just, I don't need them anymore. I don't need Troy anymore.
Project done, move on.
But again, that's the idea that 15-day no communication. Yeah. So I'm saying we don't communicate. We usually give things up to 3 days and no three business days of no communication. If it hits the 15-day mark, it actually goes to another person and that person chimes in with, hey, I'm the project coordinator here at TLC Creative. Mm-hmm. You know, following up on this and, you know, to get that communication cycle happening again. But sometimes if somebody's just gone, like you're saying, since February, I can't even imagine that. I can barely remember what happened 3 weeks ago. You know, we usually find the client says, oh, it's fantastic. And I've used it, you know, the template on three presentations or the presentation you built was great. We're like, wow, we didn't know it was done. So let's close it out and get it off of our, you know, our active log.
Yeah. Do you have clients that just won't finish a project because they can just keep going and going and going with edits? Any or tricks?
Oh, there was a little slip there.
Keep going with those edits.
Absolutely.
How do you shut that down?
Ooh, I don't know about shutting it down. The add-in project that John Wilson and I worked on together because the client made edits and upgrades for 11 months. So you know what? We just build actual time.
Okay, that's my question.
Yep.
Do you have a clause then? Because I don't want to talk about contracts and agreements, but ours is always, the baseline is three rounds of revisions. Mm-hmm. Whether you give us one word or you give us three pages of words to change, that counts as a round. So we come back with, hey, we've just exceeded the three rounds. We'll take care of this, but you know, the timeline for your rollout or the project specified. So I guess we try and minimize it by saying it's a part of the contract agreement.
Right.
That's what I do too. We have, you know, again, only in contractual, you know, projects we always say like after so-and-so edits, it goes to hourly building but that's also good to let people know, like you say,
yes,
okay, we're going into our third round. Right. So please get all your feedback at once because after that, then it's going to be hourly. So, you know, these are all things to encourage good behavior encourage. And I said this before, I'm working with this web design firm now, all their finicky rules and everything, it's helping me. It's putting me in my place to get where I need to, you know, where the project needs mm-hmm. to be. Like I have responsibility too. And it's saying, okay, you know, you have to do X, Y, and Z before the designer can do, you know, their X, Y, and Z. So, yeah. So I think it's all good. It doesn't have to be like punitive or mean.
I put it in our contract that it's, we ultimately will bill actual. We will let you know if we're going to go over that budget. So we put the ownership on us, mm-hmm. that it's up to us to communicate that. But that makes them then, because that's open, it opens up the communication, that makes the client stop and think about, okay, I better either rein myself in or know that I'm going to be spending more money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's say the project has gone into this dark mode where no communication, and maybe you've reached out and there's been no replies. I'm kind of curious if you have any standard ways or standard practices to let the client know you're considering the project closed, or perhaps, you know, perhaps the goal is actually to encourage them to finalize the project. But do you have a standard way of saying, hey, this project is closed? What do you guys do?
How do you tell them that you just don't want to see them anymore and you just want to be friends? Sandy?
I make Chloe do it.
No. Oh, there's actually power in that.
You get your friend to pass them a note in gym class.
This is exactly like middle school. There is power in having friends and having them be the middleman, because it makes you not the bad guy, but you're the message of the badness. You know,
and that's her role, so she's not judged for that role. You know, she's the project manager. She's the account executive. She's the person responsible for keeping things moving along. And so, for example, if we haven't heard from them, and she'll send an email telling them that we're closing the project and billing the time that's on the books.
Okay. So we, company-wide, TLC Creative, will send an email. I am most likely not the person sending an email. Usually it's coming from the accounting department in this situation where we're saying this project's going to be closed. I don't send the email. We have that third person. And this is a person just looking at the data. The accounting department says, hey, the project status on this shows no communication. Can I, the accounting department, close out this project, submit the invoice, and, you know, have the design team archive the files, you know, and they'll also add, of course, you know, you can reopen the project anytime you want. But now it's coming from like
Troy, that's what we do too. We ask. We don't really tell them. We ask.
Well, we're telling them what's going to happen, but we're giving them outs. And yes. I think we usually get two responses, and they're either in the vein of, I'm not done yet. Let me send the designer the needs. Well, great. We just restarted the project and moved it along. Or thank you. The design was great. Like I was saying earlier, like I've used it. Of course we're done. Mm-hmm.
What about, all right, so assuming we're done, and we've talked about this a little bit before, but just to go over, I'm curious, all our own backup processes, you know, once we do say, all right, project's done, we've gotten paid for it. What about backing up and accessing those files? Sandy, what's your...
I don't throw anything away. My process is, although somehow I have to say I lost the entire year of 2009, so...
Can you lose my 2020 for me? Because I would like to not.
That's funny. No, but what I do is, and I know maybe this is more than what you're asking, Nolan, but I keep 1 year previous and my current year in my active files. So it's very easy. A client comes back to me after 13 months. That's always right there. I'm able to access it. They're all currently backed up with Carbonite. Each year I move that 1 year previous to a connected external hard drive. Mm-hmm. So someone comes back to me after 25 months, you know, by then, obviously it's not the same project. Yeah. They've probably moved on or whatever. They want to start it up again. I always can access that way back to 2003. I have access to all of my files.
So are you saying, when you say the previous year, so we're about to hit January. So I'm assuming in January, you're going to put all of 2020 in your active or available on your computer folder. When you hit December of next year, okay, wait, no. So if you're in December of this year, are you doing this month by month? Like, do you have access to all of like what?
No, I do at the end of the year. And so at the end of this year, I will move 2019 into my external hard drive, and I will have 2020 and 2021 going.
So this is probably a bigger thing for me than most. And it goes back to the print shop pre-production department days of needing to track, you know, literally hundreds of projects, all their files. And more importantly, know where those are for reprint and second run jobs, because that's where all the profit was. Mm-hmm. So we're probably a little overkill on this. I mean, we have a centralized server. Every designer syncs their projects to multiple times a day. And then there's a backup to that server. And then there's offsite backups. There's also continuous snapshots of all the designer computers. And that's just a snapshot of just the project folders. And those go back another 30 days. So on the server, we could actually, if a file goes missing, we can access all the project folders for 30 days. I mean, we do routinely reference old projects, sometimes, mm-hmm. Sandy, 2, 3, 6 years old. Yeah. Why you ask? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I literally have an example from this week, actually 2 days ago. And this is seriously a true event. I received an email that simply said, "Are you still providing PowerPoint services?" I'm like, okay. That person was replying to what I'm guessing was kind of one of our final emails from the design project we did. It was from 2012. So, I mean, those archive project files are going to be handy for reference on past work we did for this company. We keep them all available, but there's different levels of how they're accessible, kind of like you were saying.
Hey, Nolan, totally aside though, you have to tell me, because I had something like that happen. It was 2012, maybe recently. And when I told them what my rates were, they did ghost me. They didn't even respond.
That is a strong possibility. Nolan, what do you do? Because you asked the question, what do you do?
I've got a whole bunch of backups, and similar to Sandy, I've got, you know, a year folder, and I move and archive things, and then everything is backed up. In a few different ways. I've got 2 Time Machine backups, hard drives. I've got a Backblaze backup, and then everything also is on Dropbox on top of that. So just I'm overly cautious. You can never have too many backups. And we go back all the time just by year, like trying to find something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I also, and I think I talked about this before, I've started tagging on the Mac. The Mac has these little tags that you can apply to files. So, for example, I've been in the process, you know, over this past year of going back and tagging all my final files and my print files and template files. So now through these smart searches, I can just, you know, with a click, look at every template file we've ever done or every final project, you know, or every final print project. And so that makes going back into those files really, into those folders really easy.
Nice.
I think we all agree backups, archives, good business practice, but they also can be a part of this, hey, is this project done yet? Because you can say it's done, you can close it out, and you know you have a way to get back and restart that project should, you know, the client opt to go that route.
That's right.
I know we're starting to run out of time here. Maybe we should talk about just one last thing here. Sandy, Nolan, what do you want to do?
Well, I just want to know, one, is there a difference between dropped projects? Are they more likely to be dropped if you've received a deposit or have a milestone invoice?
I don't know. I mean, I would only, if I'm going to wait for full payment for the end of a project, that's going to be a client that I trust and have worked with. Mm-hmm. Like, so
yes,
generally those are the clients that are going to be nicer and more communicative, but I haven't noticed too much. Yeah. If I'm at all worried about a client, I'm getting 50% up front.
Yeah. I haven't seen a difference in it at all. How about you, Troy?
I think the projects that are dropped, like we don't hear back from them, are more apt to be the ones we did not receive any payment for. And they're new clients. I should say this is not like an ongoing client where we, you know, kind of have that working rapport and we're set up within their accounting. I think if we get a deposit, we're more likely, let me rephrase that. If we do not get a deposit for a new client, those are more likely to be the projects that go bad.
Yep.
Yep. I agree with you.
Have you ever been, well, we don't have to get into this. Have you ever been stiffed completely?
Yep.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Many, many times. Lori and I had
that's
to.
That's another topic. That's another episode.
And the way I agree. Bill, I can't write it off as bad debt. I mean, I still have to pay taxes on the income, but I can't subtract it from my income.
Wait, you have to pay taxes on income you haven't received?
Yeah, because bill, that's in the way I started my business 20 years ago, when I bill, that's from an accounting standpoint, I can't remember the term for it. It's counted as income immediately. So if someone doesn't pay me, it's
that's accrual versus what's the other account? Okay, we gotta stop. Hold on.
That's why I only lasted one day in accounting in college.
Let me wrap this up and we'll come back with some pro and tech tips. Here we go. Hey, this conversation's done, right? See that, guys? Connection to the topic to close it out. Okay, back to announcer mode. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you, Nolan. I am certain those of you listening that are responsible for either project status updates, the billing, client communication, they're going to relate. You're going to all relate to this conversation about clients just stopping the communication cycle. We hope the conversation helps you. It was a good use of your time. And hey, this is another segue. This conversation is not done yet because we're going to have another round of awesome pro and tech tips next.
Troy, you start. What's your tech tip?
Okay, mine is actually an all PowerPoint thing. And we're doing all these mock-ups of showing how the virtual presentation is going to work. So we're like, here's your presentation. Here's their background. So if it's like Zoom or Microsoft Teams, it's obviously on black or it's full screen. And then, you know, in our virtual environments, you know, we have a full branded environment for them. So we're doing all these little mock-ups. So here's my tip. And this is really, really cool because I'm leveraging, I'm actually leveraging the new, not insert videos, but in PowerPoint, in the insert imagery, stock images, they have cut out people and they're nice. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you a use for cutout people. Okay. You need to create a little, say you're going to, you have the person's webcam next to the presentation. You want to kind of show a size relation, or more importantly, you want to show them which way they have to reference. So when they point, they're pointing towards the slides in the video record, the virtual environment. So you go to insert, cutout people. It'll drop in whichever person you picked, kind of size, position, crop them. Then on that person, go to format picture, go to picture corrections, and there's a brightness and contrast slider. Just take the brightness all the way off to the left. It becomes -100%, which is kind of weird if you're in it. And it makes a solid black silhouette. Awesome. You've just instantly created a silhouette using this really nice library of images that are available all within PowerPoint. I've been using them a lot. And you can also play with the contrast because sometimes you drop the brightness all the way down, like if it's a person with a white black dark colored sport coat and a white shirt and a black tie, you'll see a little bit of it. I actually like that, but you can adjust the contrast to make them a total silhouette. So you can make your silhouettes really easily. Just a little design tip there.
That's nice. I usually use vectors for those, but that's actually a great use case. Sandy, what do you got? What do you have?
I have a weird one. So it's not it's not a grill, a grill cleaner or anything like that. So have you heard of a Frame TV? Do you know what a Frame TV is? It's a Samsung brand.
Is that the edgeless ones? I don't know.
It's this very expensive television that all the Instagrammers are putting in their homes that shows beautiful art when your TV isn't being used. Let's say you have your TV over your fireplace.
Looks like a picture frame.
It looks like a picture frame, and it's absolutely gorgeous. And I've been wanting one and lusting after it for the longest time, but they're expensive. So as an experiment, I purchased art off of Shutterstock. I created a video in PowerPoint. I think I made it an hour long, which was a joke. When it's so hard to make anything longer than a minute in PowerPoint. and then I uploaded the video to YouTube and hit play on TV, and it streamed immediately via Bluetooth to my TV, and I have art on my TV.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's really fun. Now, I've just experimented. I have one little file up there, but I think what I'm going to do next is curate a collection of fine art and have something, maybe have a few Monets up there, anything that, is public domain, but it's really fun. So add it to that list of things you can do with PowerPoint.
Can you send us a photo of your mantelpiece or wherever it is? I'm curious. I want to see what this looks like.
You mean on the TV?
Well, yeah. Just I want to see the room and how it.
Exactly.
How it all looks.
I will. I'll do that.
Nice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mine's a really tiny thing for Mac users, but on the PC, when you're in presentation mode, your cursor goes away after a few seconds. On the Mac, for some reason, it doesn't. It just sticks around. And this might be only if you have multiple screens, which I do, but I got dinged more than once on webinars because, you know, I go in and out of slideshow mode and I'm moving my cursor around and I would leave my cursor on the main display and people would say, can you hide your cursor from the slides? And I didn't realize it was there. Yeah. So there's a little free utility called, it has an awesome name. It's called, it's called Cursorcerer, but it's from a company called, I believe, Doom Laser.
I love it.
It's even getting better.
The URL is there. Anyway, it's a tiny little utility that gets installed in your panel, and then you can select the timeout, basically, for when your mouse is going to vanish. And then the moment you move your mouse, it comes back. So it's weird that that's not built into Mac OS and you don't have any control over that. So it's called Cursorcerer, I think is what it's called. But the URL is in the notes. And if you ever suffer from that on the Mac, that's what you want. It's a cool little tool.
Awesome.
Fantastic. This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, professional presentation design agency. Check us out online and we hope you are doing good and contact us for any presentation or virtual meeting needs.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog, presentyourstory.com. Subscribe for lots of free downloads and goodies. And if you're interested in on-site or remote training, give us a call or drop by nolanhamescreative.com. That's the corporate site.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwhiz.biz, the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org, and I'm on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and on Twitter as @PPTWhiz.
Thank you for joining us for another great presentation conversation. Episode show notes are available at the Presentation Podcast website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. Also through the website, contact the show host with episode suggestions, questions, or comments. We want other designers to join us, and you can help. Please leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc., and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.